Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Exodus, and this is chapter 28. Let's ask the Lord to bless chapter 28 into us. Lord, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life. We thank you that this life is ours for believing your word. We can't believe your word if we don't read it. And when we read it and don't do it, then we're held accountable for building our houses on sinking sand. Those that read your word and do what it says are those who build a house on solid rock. Lord, let us absorb these words into us because they are spirit and they are life. If we hear these words and don't do it, then storms will come along in life, persecutions, trials and tribulations. And everybody in the world has trials and tribulations, not just Christians. I know people, Lord, and you know everyone in the world and everything that's going on in the universe. And you know very well that trials and tribulations, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So the difference is that we as Christians, those of us who hear your word and do it, there's a consolation prize for us because we get heaven. They spend eternity in the lake of fire. Lord, let all these words sink into us and give us the strength to stand another day. We're to do all to stand. And reading your word, to receive, to milk your Holy Spirit, your power out of it, is our duty if we want to stay alive eternally in heaven. Lord, let us be reminded of this every waking day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Exodus chapter 28, King James Version, verse 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty.
Yeah, to make them outstanding. Nobody else in the whole congregation will have this badge of authority, which is the beautiful clothes. No one else can dress like that because they're my priest. He's my priest. But this is symbolic of the body of Christ, the tabernacle wherein God lives, that we are wearing the garment, the holy garments of righteousness. The beautiful garments. The people will see God in Christ representing himself in us. That's the clothing that the Lord is typifying in Aaron and his sons, the tribe of the Levites. Okay, then what?
And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister
to set him aside, to make him different than all the other common people. Then what?
That he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make.
Okay. Finish that.
A breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office.
Okay, now, translation.
Translation, verse 1 through 4. The clothing for the priests. Your brother Aaron and his sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, will be set apart from the common people. They will be my priests and will minister to me. Make special clothing for Aaron to show his separation to God, beautiful garments that will lend dignity to his work. Instruct all those who have special skills as tailors to make the garments that will set Aaron apart from everyone else.
Right. Now, if everybody else was allowed to wear beautiful clothes like that, well, then it wouldn't show any dignity to Aaron's office. Now, the Pope tries to duplicate this by wearing all these fancy clothes, but the man does this for the duped people of the world that don't know that we're in the New Testament now and that the holy garments of God are walking in the Spirit. All right? Adam and Eve, before the fall, didn't know they were naked because they were clothed with righteousness. But when they sinned, then they knew they were naked. They didn't have any clothing, spiritual clothing on them. They were not clothed with righteousness. And so now we've gone back. We've been restored to the original state, not to walk around in the nude for by any means, but to walk in holiness. And it's already been made a rule that people wear clothes. God killed lambs and put them, wrapped them. They'd never known what death was until God killed animals and put the animal skins around these dead animals' skins that were around their bodies and put them on Adam and Eve, showing you've been animals and now wear animal skins to clothe yourself because you're naked. And now it's indecent to not have clothing on because now all the people know good and evil. And we know to resist evil now. And people are walking around in the nude as though they don't know that doing so is extremely evil. Put your clothes on. It's a commandment of the Lord, because we do know what good and evil is now, and we've read the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us what good is and what evil is. Amen?
Amen.
And so there's no excuse. All right, continue on, please.
Instruct all those who have special skills as tailors to make the garments that will set Aaron apart from everyone else, so he may serve me as a priest. They are to make a chest piece, an ephod, a robe, embroidered tunic, a turban, and a sash. They will also make special garments for Aaron's sons to wear when they serve as priests before me. King James Version, verse 5. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet and fine twined linen, with cunning work. It shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. Six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod, for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. Translation, verses 5 through 12. These items must be made of fine linen cloth and embroidered with gold thread and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. The design of the ephod. The ephod must be made of fine linen cloth and skillfully embroidered with gold thread and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. It will consist of two pieces, front and back, joined at the shoulders with two shoulder pieces. And the sash will be made of the same materials, fine linen cloth embroidered with gold thread and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. Take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the tribes of Israel. Six names will be on each stone, naming all the tribes in the order of their ancestors' births. Engrave these names in the same way that a gem cutter engraves a seal.
Okay, so who would be the first name on the list? According to the time that they were born.
Reuben.
Absolutely, Reuben. Amen. All right, then what?
Mount the stones in gold settings. Fasten the two stones on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as memorial stones for the people of Israel. Aaron will carry these names before the Lord as a constant reminder. King James Version, verse 13. And thou shalt make ouches of gold.
Translation,
verse 13. The settings are to be made of gold filigree.
So the ouches are the same thing as the settings. Amen?
Amen.
I just wanted to read that by itself. Ouches are settings. Okay?
Yeah.
Then what?
King James Version, verse 14.
Do you know what a setting is?
Yes.
What is it?
It's what the stone is set in, and it holds the stone.
Okay, that's right. So, but if you take the stone out of the setting, then all you have is an ouch. Ouch, the stone is missing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 14. And two chains of pure gold at the ends, of wreathen work shalt thou make them, and fasten the wreathen chains to the ouches. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod thou shalt make it, of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. Translation, verses 14 through 20. And two cords made of pure gold will be attached to these settings on the shoulders of the ephod. Design of the chest piece. Then, with the most careful workmanship, make a chest piece that will be used to determine God's will. Use the same materials as you did for the ephod. Fine linen cloth embroidered with gold thread and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. This chest piece will be made of two folds of cloth from a pouch 9 inches square. Four rows of gemstones will be attached to it. The first row will contain a red carnelian, a chrysolite, and an emerald. The second row will contain a turquoise, a sapphire, and a white moonstone. The third row will contain a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. The fourth row will contain a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. All these stones will be set in gold. King James Version, verse 21. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. Translation, verse 21. Each stone will represent one of the tribes of Israel, and the name of that tribe will be engraved on it as though it were a seal. King James Version, verse 2.
So seal is the same as signet. Seal is the same thing as signet. Then what? It's like a king has a ring that has the engraving on it, and he puts it in wax to seal or signify that this letter came from the king. It's sealed with wax, and then the imprint of the ring, the signet, is, or seal, is put on that wax so they know truly the seal cannot be broken until the person that is to get it gets it. Then what else? So it's a seal, a signet. Okay. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 22. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate, in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shalt put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. Translation, verses 22 through 29. And attach the chest piece to the ephod, make braided cords of pure gold. Then make two gold rings, and attach them to the top corners of the chest piece. The two gold cords will go through the rings on the chest piece, and the ends of the cords will be tied to the gold settings on the shoulder pieces of the ephod. Then make two more gold rings, and attach them to the two lower inside corners of the chest piece next to the ephod. And make
all these things are actual representative of, you hear preachers saying, of the Lord. But they're actually, because the tabernacle and the clothing in the tabernacle. But what it is it's symbolic of us, the body of Christ, the temple of God. We are the temple of God. And the Lord is the everlasting temple. But this is symbolic of us and the Lord together. These rings means endless fidelity to the Lord. And the chains, these gold and these jewels and all these things on the shoulders and the chains binding them on is symbolic of that we are to put on the yoke with the Lord, the shoulder, the work together with Him. and to bind it with pure gold, with Holy Spirit. in an endless never, we have to continue on to the end in order to have a circle, complete circle, an eternity that never ends. You just keep going around that circle and around the circles. Okay? Praise the Lord. Then what?
And make two more gold rings and attach them to the ephod near the sash. Then attach the bottom rings of the chest piece to the rings on the ephod with blue cords. This will hold the chest piece securely to the ephod above the beautiful sash.
The breastplate of righteousness, the sash is the girdle of truth. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
In this way, Aaron will carry the names of the tribes of Israel on the chest piece over his heart when he goes into the presence of the Lord in the holy place. Thus the Lord will be reminded of his people continually. King James Version, verse 30. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually.
And you know what the Urim and the Thummim is, right?
Yes.
Okay, what is that?
It's lights and perfections, and it's what they used to find out what God's will was.
Right. Well, it's not a device that tells people what God's will is. It's righteousness and purity and holiness, which is the Holy Spirit, that you can find out. The device to find out what God's will is to live in the Spirit. He talks to you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue.
And you notice that the flag of Israel is blue. You know, the Star of David and white. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else? Probably the same color blue. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
And there shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord.
Right, if there was any sin on his soul, you wouldn't hear the bells anymore, because he'd drop dead. And they have a rope on them and they pull him out, because no one could go in there to get him. Okay, then what?
And when he cometh out, that he die not.
That's right there. It says when he has to have that on. He has to be clean from sin. They have to sacrifice a bull, and so that he's free of sin, or that he dies not. Okay, then what else?
And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, Holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness.
Okay, the reason for that was, is these heathen, they would actually show their genitals. They'd wear open pants or some kind of a skirt to wear when they're going up into the altar that people could see, because they were worshiping sex gods. And it was like an orgy that they'd get going. All right, because I've studied that, and I know that to be a fact, okay? And so that's why God wanted the Jews to go in there, the Hebrews, to kill them. Because he didn't like their gods, because they weren't gods, and he didn't like their perverted ways. That's why he said they had to wear undergarments, all right? That's the explanation of it. In case you don't know, okay? Now you know. Amen?
Yeah.
Then what?
And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach.
And wear shorts. Okay, what else?
And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. Translation, verses 30 through 43. Insert into the pocket of the chest piece the Urim and Thummim to be carried over Aaron's heart when he goes into the Lord's presence.
Yeah, it was over the heart. Now it's in our heart. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord. Then what?
Thus Aaron will always carry the objects used to determine the Lord's will for his people whenever he goes in before the Lord. Additional clothing for the priests. Make the robe of the ephod entirely of blue cloth, with an opening for Aaron's head in the middle of it. An opening will be reinforced by a woven collar, so it will not tear. Make pomegranates out of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and attach them to the hem of the robe, with gold bells between them. The gold bells and pomegranates are to alternate all the way around the hem. Aaron will wear this robe whenever he enters the holy place to minister to the Lord. And the bells will tinkle as he goes in and out of the Lord's presence. If he wears it, he will not die. Next, make a medallion of pure gold. Using the techniques of an engraver, inscribe it with these words: set apart as holy to the Lord.
Consecrated, in other words. We're not to go back into the world. We're to be a separate and holy people. Amen.
Amen.
Separate unto the Lord. Okay, then what?
This medallion will be attached to the front of Aaron's turban by means of a blue cord.
Yeah, the mitre is actually the turban. It's like a hat that is shaped kind of like this. Kind of comes up and out like that. But of course, no priests of the Lord wears them today. We wear the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
We can dress like ordinary folk because we're set apart by our lifestyle. We've consecrated. We don't run the way we did before or the way any other person does now. Today, we run with the Lord. Amen. Then what?
Aaron will wear it on his forehead, thus sparing the guilt connected with any errors regarding the sacred offerings of the people of Israel. He must always wear it so the Lord will accept the people. Weave Aaron's pattern tunic from fine linen cloth. Fashion the turban out of this linen as well. Also make him an embroidered sash. Then for Aaron's sons, make tunics, sashes, and headdresses to give them dignity and respect. Clothe Aaron and his sons with these garments, and then anoint and ordain them. Set them apart as holy, so they can serve as my priests. Also make linen underclothes for them, to be worn next to their bodies, reaching from waist to thigh. These must be worn whenever Aaron and his sons enter the tabernacle or approach the altar in the holy place to perform their duties. Thus they will not incur guilt and die. This law is permanent for Aaron and his descendants.
Okay. Well, that was the last verse of chapter 27, 28 rather. And now we have some commentary.
28 verses 1 through 43. Now the tailoring and designing of Aaron's garments were much different from the common people, because he was the highest representative. All others were subordinate, in other words, not equal to him. It wasn't a democracy. As high priest, Aaron was Israel's chief representative before God. Conversely, he was God's representative before the people. 28 verse 1. Quote, your brother Aaron and his sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, will be set apart from the common people. They will be my priests and will minister to me. Unquote. Aaron was a type of Christ, who is our high priest. 28 verse 5 through 14.
You don't have to read that.
The ephod was an elaborate four-piece vest-like garment by which Aaron symbolically bore Israel on his shoulders into God's presence. Verse 12. 28 verse 15 through 30. The breastplate was a single piece of fabric, folded over to form a 9 by 9 inch square. 12 stones, again, symbolized Aaron's bearing Israel before God, this time over his heart.
No, don't read any scriptures.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. 28 verse 30. The Urim and the Thummim were put in the breastplate.
Just like the Lord is put into our hearts today. Okay, so that we can know what His desires are. We live close to Him, He talks to us, and we talk to Him. And you know, I've done a message on this, and it represents what?
Lights and perfections.
Read that again. Say that again.
Lights and perfections.
Life and
lights.
Lights?
Yes.
That's right. Understanding, enlightenment from the Lord. Understanding, purity, perfection of the knowledge of what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. All right? Okay, then what?
Urim and Thummim are light and perfection.
Mm-hmm.
28 verses 31 through 35. The robe of the ephod was worn under the ephod and breastplate to remind Aaron of God's nearness. 28 verses 33 through 34. Pomegranates are a round, sweet fruit with a hard rind, which suggested God's fruitful provision.
Right, because it had so many seeds in it. We weren't supposed to eat anything in school when I went to public school in Helena, Montana, but we always used to, I would anyway, sneak a pomegranate in and just nibble at it during the day to pass the time away, because I could always do my studies a little bit faster, and I'd sit there bored. So I'd eat little pomegranates the outside of them. They were sweet and good, and lots of them, hundreds of seeds in each one. Amen?
Amen.
This shows the fruitfulness of the Lord, the abundance of seed, the abundance of the Word of God to sow into people's hearts. Okay, then what else?
28 28, verse 36, quote, holiness to the Lord, unquote, spoke of the devotion and lifestyle of the high priest in Israel.
Now we're all high priests if you're born again of the Spirit. The Spirit is living in you. If God in Christ is living in you, we're priests. And the lifestyle that we have is the same lifestyle as Christ. Nothing less. Then what?
Quote, holiness to the Lord, unquote, spoke of the devotion and lifestyle of the high priest in Israel by virtue of God's choosing.
When God has chosen us, he's called us, and few are chosen. In other words, few of us are going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Many are called. The whole world is called, right?
Right.
But few of us have chosen to do what the Lord wants, and few of us, so therefore, few of us, only few of us will be chosen to enter the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay? Straight and narrow. And few there be that enter thereof. Therein. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go.
28, verse 40 through 41. All priests needed special garments to establish their authority.
Yes.
Those of Aaron's sons were much less opulent. 28, verse 42 through 43. Both Aaron and his sons wore a plain linen undergarment, so as to cover their nakedness. The exposed, uncomely parts of the Canaanites were very common in their worship. See,
they like to expose themselves, as you see streakers doing today. Amen?
Amen.
And you see people, you know, you hear of pornography and all this, people just seem to love to expose themselves. And that's why God sent the Jews in there to kill them. Amen?
Amen.
The Canaanites, that is the sons of Ham, the Africans. That's where Canaan land is. It's formerly of Africa. That which is Israel was at one time Africa. Okay, then what?
See Exodus 20:26. Quote, neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon, unquote. 28, verse 30. Continually is tamid in Hebrew. It is pronounced ta-mid. This is located in T-A-H M-E-E-D, it's pronounced.
Ta-mid. Okay, then what?
This is located in Strong's Concordance, number 8548.
Means, look it up for yourself, amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Means constantly, always, evermore, perpetually.
That's like a ring. A ring is perpetual, it's eternal. Round and round, it never ends, right?
Right.
Has no beginning and has no ending. It's eternal. Then what?
It is assumed that this adverb comes from a root meaning, quote, to stretch out into eternity, unquote, quote, to extend forever, unquote. Tamid occurs more than 100 times in the Old Testament, with the primary idea of something permanent and unceasing. In chapter 29, verse 42, Tamid describes the burnt offering as, quote, continual, unquote, quote, permanent, unquote, quote, daily, unquote, or, quote, regular, unquote, may also fit the description.
Well, how much are you going to read of that?
Well, it refers to it in 29:42, one verse.
Okay.
Okay. Exodus 29:42, quote, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee, unquote.
Okay, we're supposed to go, we must go through the fire to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so therefore, these burnt offerings were symbolic of Christ and us, because Christ died, he went through the fire all of his life, even before he was born, they were after him. And right up to the time that he was crucified and went to hell. And then we have to sacrifice our life on the altar of the Lord, which means we no longer can be ourselves. It's symbolically, we become a heap of ashes because we're no longer ourselves. Ye are the temple of the Lord, and ye are not your own. You don't belong to yourself anymore once you give yourself to the Lord. And I know a lot of people like to say, you know, we've got to get into the world and get involved. But this isn't what the Lord wants. He wants a separate and holy people. And so a lot of people feel like this is where they have a burning desire to get involved with the world in one way or the other, or to let their flesh lead them somewhere other than to be a burnt offering, just dead. That's what water baptism is symbolized of. It's like the burial of the same burial of Christ. We die as he died. And then we raise up in his spirit, resurrected spirit, to be an offering of sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord, something that the Lord really loves and desires and he defends and blesses and uses as an instrument of his in this world to continue representing himself in a human body, your human body or mine or who, and hundreds of others, hopefully millions of others. But he does say, straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and few there be shall enter therein into the kingdom of heaven, because so few people will completely surrender themselves unto the Lord like that. And it has to be like that. It has to be all or nothing at all. The Lord wants all the heart, not 99 9/10, all the soul, all the mind, all the strength. Heart, soul, mind, and strength, and for us to love our neighbor as ourself, or even prefer him before ourselves, because we have to love him so much that we stand upright before them. And they may not think that it's upright because we are always denying ourselves to the point to where we're against everything that's worldly. As he said, Antipas, my favorite, my faithful servant, was crucified between the porch and the altar. Antipas, the anti means against. Antipas means against everything. And a lot of people get it into their heads that you have a bad disposition because you just don't like anything that is in the world that's worldly. And they just think you're just a nasty person, you know, a nasty old man that just doesn't like anybody. Can't you be friendly, or can't you bend a little bit this way or that way, or be a little bit flexible? No, you have to be antipas, against everything that's worldly. Everything. But you can be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You don't have to just go around telling how wonderful you are and how great you are and how against everything you are, because you wouldn't be able to win many souls that way. But we cannot yield unto temptation of any kind. We have to be separate and holy. So are you against everything that's in the world? Or do you still like to grab onto something? You still have to lie. You just have to. Or you just have to look where you don't, you're not supposed to. Or think in your heart of something that you're not supposed to. Well, then you're not sold out to the Lord. You have to become a heap of ashes like these burnt offerings. When they lived in a stall, and the farmer would take them out and plow with them. And it was a sacrifice to a farmer or a cattle raiser to take his best plow bull or steer, whoever, whatever, ox, to sacrifice it unto the Lord. So what had to happen is this ox had to be taken out of its present environment and taken over to the temple. And then they'd take it to the priest. And the priest would lay hands on it and cut its neck off. And then they'd split it right down the middle, take its hide out and its inner parts and the fat and the caul around the liver, and take it outside the camp and burn it as a sacrifice unto the Lord. Split it down the middle and break it into pieces, take out the dung and put that along with the fat and burn it up. And so that's symbolic of us and the Lord himself and us. That's what we have to become in this world, is that we partake in nothing. Now, the Lord allows us to use the world. We get to eat, and we get to drink food, and the Bible plainly tells us all the different things that we can have. But we can't take part in the sins of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Lord gives us good things to eat. I mean, you know, we eat. I don't think anyone believes that they're deprived of anything that's good. Amen?
Amen.
I think we get the best of everything.
Amen.
And no, everybody's got a lot of nice clothes and things like that. And it's all right to use the world for the Lord, but not to partake in the world, because the Lord doesn't want us to do that. There's a border line there. You can't cross the border. You're not to remove the old landmark, or to increase, and for that matter, decrease the border. If you decrease the borders, well, then a lot of people say this place is too straight for us. I mean, we don't believe that. The Bible does give us liberty to do some things. Amen?
Amen.
He allows us to be married. He wants us to reproduce. And that's all legal. And there's no real good marriage if the two people if the wife doesn't lie or commit adultery with her eyes, or if she keeps herself holy and all that, well, then she's part of you. She's one with you. And if she loves your company, and if she loves to be around you, but if she wants to be around you her way, well, then, of course, that's not of the Lord either. There has to be an equal fellowship, a yoking there, a marriage where each of you enjoy each other to the max. Amen?
Yeah.
And there's nothing sweeter than that. Sue and I were married for 17 years, and we were just like, I mean, you couldn't get any closer than that. We were so one, it was unbelievable. People knew it, too. They could just tell it by looking at us. And so there's, we have to become a heap of ashes, but to the world, as far as the world is concerned, we don't have anything to do with that. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're like sheep among wolves, and so we have to keep ourselves straight in the eyes of the Lord so that he'll lead us through this band of wolves every day, so that we're not killed all of a sudden and sent to hell for joining up with them. The Lord says, beware of false brethren, people that say they're Christians and they're not. And so we have to be careful what we hear, and very careful to just read what the Bible says and then do it. Because if we read it and don't do it, again, he states that we're like people that hear the word, but we don't, and that's like people that build their house on sand. When the winds and the storm and tornadoes or hurricanes or floods come, if you're on the solid stone, the solid rock Christ Jesus, on the solid doctrine, and you're hearing and doing what he says, your house will not be blown, you will not be destroyed. But if you just hear the word and don't do it, then you will be destroyed. Now, I heard what the word of the Lord said. He says, if you write and put these things out, you will not be destroyed. But if you don't, you will be destroyed. Now, when the Lord says that, I heard it. And if I don't do it, yeah, I know, I've been told, I've been warned. He warned me. And he warned all of you through me that we will be destroyed. And so you can't get fat and sassy. You can't get fat and sassy. Well, we got it made. We've got nice homes now, and our barns are full. And we say to ourselves, you know, man, you know, we really got everything. And the Lord says, thou fool, this night your soul is required of you. Don't get fat and sassy like you think you've got it made, because you don't have it made if you don't hear what the Lord says and do it. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, that means you have to be a heap of ashes before the Lord and let him do with you what he says he wants you to do. otherwise, or to think, well, we're just sloppy rich or something, we can do whatever we want. No, you, first of all, we're not sloppy rich, and even if we were, we cannot do anything that we want or everything we want. We have to do what the Lord says in order to stay alive. And they got this song, Staying Alive, Staying Alive, Staying Alive. That's right, you got to stay alive in the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
But the people that I've heard sing that song, they don't show me that they're representing the Lord at all. They're not even alive, but they know to sing the song. They sing the song, but they don't live the life. We don't sing that song, but we live the life. Or we are just as dead in the water as they are. We're dead dogs. Okay, then what?
Tamid occurs in several well-loved verses. Quote, my eyes are ever toward the Lord.
It's forever. Is your eyes forever on the Lord? It's a commandment. Both day and night. Every waking hour. Okay, then what?
That was Psalm 25:15.
Read that.
Okay. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Unquote.
Right. He will not let me be destroyed because I'm doing what he says. Then what?
Quote, his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34.
Continually, 1. But I mean, do you hear people? Last night I was praying for someone because they stabbed their eye on a vacuum cleaner part while they were blowing up some balloons for one of the little boys' birthday parties today, and I was busy praying for the person in my room, and I heard people out there giggling and laughing when she was crying, and had her eyelid was bruised and bleeding, and there was a big mark on the white of her eye because of it. And I could, you know, I've had that too, and I've wanted people to be praying for me. I asked them to, and I'd hear people giggling, laughing, and carrying on. You know that their mind is so far away and their heart is so far away from the Lord that it's not even fun. It's just not funny at all. But I was sending up a steady stream of prayers to the Lord, and just sending them up, sending them up, sending them up, and talking to the Lord and telling him what he said. I know that you said this, and you said this, Lord, and you said that. You said you'd heal. If we call upon you, you'll hear us, and you'll answer us, and you'll show us, and that you will heal. You already healed her, and so on and so forth. And finally, the Lord came down after I prayed for maybe 15, 20 minutes, solid. Just steady stream going up. And all this time, I'm hearing giggling and laughing out in the other room. I thought, I wonder why these people are not praying. They say they're Christians, but they have no concern about their fellow man, let alone their fellow Christian. So I don't believe they are where they're supposed to be in the Lord. And then people wonder, if we do what the Lord says, he will deliver us. But if we don't, he will destroy us. And say, well, it's not the Lord. Some criminal did it. He allowed them to, or he may have sent them in on you, just like he sent the hornets in on the giants. Amen?
Amen.
And on the others that he sent in hornets. And locusts, and just destroyed thousands upon thousands of people. And then sent the death angel finally and took the firstborn in the house. You're trying to play with God. You're trying to pretend Christianity, and you're the one that's going to not profit from that. Okay, let's go. Let's hear some more.
Psalm 34:1, quote, I will bless the Lord at all times.
And why? There's great profit in that. Amen?
Amen.
At knowing who you are and who God is, and what God said, and believing his promises. So when you're joking and laughing when somebody's like hurting and possibly had their eyes punctured out, she said that she felt like that very pointed object that looked, it was hard plastic about the biggest round of a straw. And it just went, she thought that it went right through her eye and into her brain. And they're just laughing and giggling out there. I mean, that those people don't have any compassion at all. Thank God the Lord. And then another one came in, and they said that they there was something terribly wrong with them, and I prayed right after that, and that person got healed as well. They're both healed. But we also, I told her to put her, wash her eye in murine, and some of the other sisters came around, secretaries and so on, and school people, and she washed her eye in that murine, and it started feeling better. And then when I started praying for her, you can't just say be healed and be warmed and feel, you have to nurse them as well. Then we made a tea out of myrrh and boric acid and golden seal tea and steeped that, but we didn't have to use it. She got healed up before we had to use that. And within just right after the Lord answered, I looked at her and her eye looked completely healed. She opened it and everything. I says, feel any pain? Not at all. And she was smiling. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And that was, I'll tell you, there was a tear in her eyelid and everything. And there's no swelling today, no black eye or anything like that. It's just perfect. Okay? But if I was just a giggling hyena, like those people that I was hearing, I don't know who they were, but I hear them all the time when people are called up to be healed. They don't pay any mind to it. They just ignore it. The love of many has waxed cold in these last days. The Bible, the Lord prophesied it. The love of many shall wax cold. The love of what? The love of the Lord, to do what hear what he says and then do it. They've built their homes on sand. And there's going to come a time in their life when they're going to want somebody to pray for them, and they're going to hear outside the room somebody laughing and giggling because they sowed that kind of testimony unto the others, and that's what everybody, their friends, are going to do. They'll say, well, what's the difference? She dies. Can we have her stuff? That's the first thing some of these cold, chilly people do. Can we have what they have? They had this, and they're dead now. Can't we have it? They're like ghouls or scavengers. Or somebody falls away from the Lord and they help make him fall. They say, they didn't take this with them and they didn't take that with them. Can we have it? I said, leave it alone for a while. Maybe they'll decide to come back. You evil person, you. Just can't wait till somebody leaves so they can have what they've been coveting all these years or months. Okay, then what?
Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Unquote.
You believe people like that have their praise continually in their mouth? Praise the Lord all the time? No. They're not Christians. They're the worst examples to have around the church. And they don't think there's anything wrong with that because they've seen others do the same thing. And rather than going by what the Lord says, they copy the phonies in the church. And every church has them. I'm talking to Marty, a person who is a construction man. He says, Tony, I believe that there's probably maybe one, or sometimes not even one, true Christian in some of the churches that I see. He says, I know in my church, he doesn't go to my church, but he says, in my church, he says, there was not even, I don't believe there's even one other Christian other than myself in there. He says, the pastor was acting as though he was an old drunk. He dressed up real bad. And on Sunday, he says, and he was leaning up against the wall like he needed help and had a hat over his head, an old slouchy hat, so he couldn't recognize who he was. And they all walked right by him and didn't one of them ever say, can we help you? Are you sick? Something like that. They just walked in. And they were sitting down, and he said he walked in with his bum outfit on and said, hi, I'm the guy every one of you passed up out there. He said, you people are not Christian people. You've built your house on sand, and you're going to be destroyed. Okay, now what?
Quote, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought, unquote.
Right, that's if you hear what he says and do it. Does the Lord ever command you to giggle and laugh when people are sick?
No.
The good Samaritan, he didn't claim to be a Christian or anything. He didn't. He went down into the ditch with the person and said, how are you? I mean, can I help you? Let me fix your wounds here. Let me take you to an inn. He wasn't giggling and laughing like a jackass or a hyena. That's what Christianity is. Is helping people. You talk, and you say you know scriptures because you polyparrot what you've been told, but you don't do what the word says. Okay, then what?
Isaiah 58:11. Quote, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not, unquote.
Right, a person of the Lord, they help people in need. Like I was over at a dentist's office the other day, and he says, well, I put these implants into this nurse of mine over here 3 years ago, and she still doesn't have her teeth screwed onto them. And I said, why not? And he says, she can't afford it. And I intend to tell her, you know, but I didn't want to say it in front of the dentist there because, I mean, he's working on my teeth, and I didn't want him to accidentally put a stiletto down my throat or something. But I'm going to tell her, you know, like, why don't you let us take care of that? And you can just pay us back $25 a month or whatever you can afford. Because I think the dentist should have done that. God knows he makes plenty of money. He could have said, well, I'll just take $25 out of your paycheck a month. How's that? And I'll get it done for you right now. Because she has to go to another dentist, a friend of his, to get the cap put on. But she has implants in there, but no teeth. And here for 3 years, the dentist knew that. She didn't have enough money and won't loan it to her. Get it done. Or you actually think that I would let anybody do that? No way. The minute I find out something's wrong, I just figure that's the Lord. The Bible says for us to know that that's the Lord. And at judgment, he's going to say, you knew that woman needed teeth. And that's me. That was me. And you didn't offer to give it. See, if she said, well, I can't really afford that, $25 a month. Well, I'd say, well, then, just, you know, if you ever come into money, just let us know. And if you don't, well, then just keep them anyway. Okay? You know, because I trust the Lord, he's going to send it right back to 100-fold. Man, if it costs $1,000, I know I'm going to get $100,000 back. How he does that, I don't know, but he always has. Amen?
Amen.
All right? Okay, then what?
The reason for the Urim and the Thummim was to determine the will of God in key decisions.
Yeah, the Urim and the Thummim actually is symbolic of the Spirit of the Lord living in us, that we know the will of the Lord, is that we're communicating with him all the time, and he communicates back to us. Then what?
Again, the priest's breastplate was inscribed with the names of Israel's tribes. This showed that the priests represented the nation of Israel and was spiritually responsible for the people.
We're responsible for the people in this world. And giggling and laughing shows total irresponsibility. It's like you don't think you're anything. You have a low esteem of yourself. If you could see the self-esteem that you have, you'd have to get a microscope. You'd have to go to one of those, Mount Palomar or someplace that has one of those telescopes that sees clear up to the stars, and you still probably wouldn't be able to see your self-esteem. You know, you got a very low esteem factor. You don't esteem yourself as anything because you know that you don't really pay any attention to what the Lord says to do it. All right, then what?
Similarly, those who were in key positions of responsibility must seriously and consistently seek God's will as they make decisions or be accountable for acting otherwise.
Are you going to be held accountable for that? Don't think that you're not. Okay, then what else?
All these clothings are done away with in the New Testament. We have to be clothed in white linen, fine white linen. It's a spiritual garment to be spiritually endued with the Holy Spirit. When Adam and Eve became naked, they had the clothing of righteousness on. They had the Holy Spirit. So all these different pieces of garments were just to show people outwardly a difference between the priests, Aaron and his sons, and the common people. But today we are to show that we are not as the common people by obeying the Lord, by living in the Spirit.
By hearing him and doing what he says. Okay? Is that it?
Yes.
All right. Now this was chapter 28 of Exodus. And Lord willing, we'll be doing chapter 29 this evening. Till then, keep thinking of these things and really listen to the Lord and start and begin doing what he says, and don't forget to do it. That's what happens to a lot of people. They forget to do it. Their barns get full. Their stomach, all the wrinkles go out of their stomach. They become like bums that find a cigar on the street and they start smoking the cigar, and they've found a cheeseburger in the gutter, and so they get their stomach full and take a cigar and smoke it, and then they're going to start telling people how to run the world. You see? Don't you see? And that's what people that forget what the Lord says and they don't do it. You're like spiritual hobos, bums, worthless. So keep looking up. Thinking about all these things all the time. Meditate on both days. That's what it means. Think of that, all this stuff that we have to do. And that you're to represent the Lord and do what he did and what he tells us to do. Do it day and night. Until then, until chapter 29, God bless you real good and praise the Lord. Amen.